This is Warrior Kid Podcast number 12, Ask Uncle Jake. This podcast is based on the two Way of the Warrior Kid books. The first one, Wimpy to Warrior, The Navy SEAL Way, and the second one, Mark's Mission. The books are about young Mark, who faces a lot of the problems that kids everywhere face. But Mark gets help solving these problems from his Uncle Jake, who was a Navy SEAL and who stays with Mark in the summertime. This podcast is for kids to hear some more lessons from Uncle Jake and also to get the chance to ask Uncle Jake some questions. So here we go. Now, these first three questions are from one warrior kid named Alana, and I actually know her. She's a very hard worker. She can read really well. She studies hard, and she's also awesome at jiu-jitsu, which is pretty neat. So here we go. First question from Alana. Is honey a good treat? Okay, is honey a good treat? Well, we do know that honey tastes really good, so it is certainly a treat. But at the same time, honey is something that you shouldn't have too much of too often. And the reason is because honey is a natural form of sugar. We know it comes from bees, so it's natural, but it is still sugar. And too much sugar is definitely not good for you. So if you love honey, which a lot of people do, I don't quite love honey, but I definitely think it tastes good. If you really love it, have a little bit of it. A little bit of it, maybe once a week. Make it a special treat for yourself. Or if you want to have it more than once a week, then only have a tiny, 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 tiny bit. You don't want to eat too much honey. So it's a good treat, but don't overdo it. And that's it. The next question from Alana is, should I feel bad for a bully when they get hurt? Okay, well, you might not feel bad for the bully, but you probably should, because that bully is still a person, right? Now, you don't know also what has made that bully act so mean. And this is something that Mark learned in the Way the Warrior Kid 2 book, Mark's Mission. If you remember, he learns that maybe he didn't understand everything he should know about Nathan James, who's kind of a mean kid that calls other kids names, including Mark. And at one point in the book, Uncle Jake and Mark, they kind of do some observing of Nathan James, and they see that he lives a pretty tough life, a lot harder than the life that Mark lives. And so I'm going to go to the book here. Come on, Mark. Let's go, Uncle Jake said as he motioned with his head to start walking away and back toward the rec center. By this time, it was really late and really dark. It was definitely past my bedtime. Seems like his life is a lot different than yours, doesn't it? Uncle Jake asked. Yes, Uncle Jake, it sure does. What kind of kid do you think you would be if that was your life? Do you think you would be as nice as you are? Do you think you'd be a little jealous of other kids with their nice snacks packed for them every day and the nice houses they live in? Probably, Uncle Jake, I told him. He was right. It almost seems like Nathan lives in a totally different world than me, I told Uncle Jake. Uncle Jake answered, that's because he does live in a totally different world than you. Now, do you think that if you lived in that world, where you are alone most of the time and basically begging for food, do you think you might have a hard time relating to kids that have everything given to them? Do you think you might even be mean to them? Uncle Jake asked. I thought about that for a second. Just because he doesn't have nice food doesn't give him the right to be mean to people, I told Uncle Jake. I didn't say that it gave him the right, Uncle Jake replied. But do you see how it could happen? Do you understand maybe why Nathan might act the way he does? Uncle Jake was right. Nathan's life seemed a lot tougher than mine. And while I don't think that gave him the right to be mean, I could see how it might make him mean, especially to kids who seem spoiled in comparison to him. Kids like me. So, there you go. That's part of the book when Mark is learning that kids are mean for different reasons. And that's something that you need to think about. And there's even in the first book, I talk about something very similar, or Uncle Jake and Mark talk about something very similar. And they are talking about Kenny Williamson. And if you remember, Kenny Williamson is the bully from the first book. And there's been a little bit of a conflict between Mark and Kenny Williamson. And finally, Mark, at the end of the book, stands up to Kenny Williamson, the bully, and Kenny backs down and he's super sad. And basically, he's hurt. His feelings are hurt. He might not be physically hurt. No, he didn't get beat up, but he's definitely, his feelings are hurt and he's very sad. And we see Mark, how Mark responds to this. What does he do when he sees that Kenny, who's been his arch rival, who's been a bully, who's been picking on him, or who picked on him the last year, he sees that he's sad, and this is what Mark does, and I think this is the right thing. So Mark looks up and he sees the kids now playing on the jungle gym that Kenny Williamson used to let no one go on. No one could go on the jungle gym except for Kenny and his friends, and then when Mark stands up to him, other kids start playing on the jungle gym. And now they're all the other kids are running around the jungle gym and playing and swinging. And now we'll go to the book, except Kenny. He was sitting by himself with his head hung low. Even the kids that usually followed him around were gone. Then I remembered one of the things I learned in jiu-jitsu and one of the things Uncle Jake taught me. Treat other people with respect. So I walked over to Kenny and said, "Hey, Kenny." He looked up at me and said, "Yeah?" And then I said, "The jungle gym is for everyone. Everyone includes you. Come on." I motioned with my head toward the jungle gym and turned and walked back toward it. After a few steps, I looked over my shoulder. Kenny was still sitting down looking at me. I waved him over again. He still didn't move. So I smiled and waved him over again. He cracked a little smile, stood up, and started walking toward me. When he got close enough, I said, "I'll race you to the monkey bars." He stood with a surprised look on his face until I said, "Go!" And we both started running. He barely beat me there, and when I got to the top, he held up his hand for a high five. Just like that, Kenny wasn't the king anymore, and he also wasn't a bully. Soon he was laughing and playing with the rest of the kids. He was now one of the kids. So I think that's a really good example of how to handle a bully. If they're hurt, you try and help them. Now, just like Uncle Jake said, and just like Mark said, treat people, even bullies, with respect. Be nice to them as much as you can. And if they do get hurt, have some sympathy and try and help them out. Now, of course, there's going to be bullies that even when you're nice to them, they aren't nice back. And so there's going to be points in your life where you're going to have to stand up to bullies and make sure they're not picking on you or other kids. And this actually leads to Alana's last question. So the last question from Alana is, how do I stand up to a bully in another kindergarten class who is mean to all the kids at recess and calls us mean names when I'm really scared? Okay, so that's one of the things that makes bullies bullies, is that other kids are scared to stand up to them. So I would say, first of all, try being nice to the bully. Like, that's just a good thing to do. It's a good thing to do to all people. Try and be nice to them. Laugh and smile and maybe try and invite the bully into your group of friends and see if they want to play the game that you're playing. So that's my first try. And you're going to find that a lot of times once you open up to someone and try and befriend them, they'll let down their guard and start being nice too. Now, if that doesn't work, one of the best ways to handle a bully is just to ignore them. And then get the other kids, the other friends in your group to ignore the bully as well. Just don't pay attention to them. Now, if the bully still doesn't stop, well, then you might have to get away from the bully. And the best way to do that is just tell the other kids that the bully's mean and he's mean to all of you guys. And just say, you know what? We're going to go play somewhere else where the bully isn't. And get all your friends to go with you somewhere else. Now the bully's alone. No one wants to... If no one's around the bully, then who's he going to call names? So you've kind of solved the problems there. Of course, there's also a chance that he's now going to follow you and your friends. And if he does that, well, go and leave him again. Walk away again. And keep doing that. And if you feel like it, if you feel like there's a good time to do it, just tell him, hey, the reason that everyone keeps trying to get away from you is because you keep calling everyone names. And no one wants to play with someone that keeps calling everyone names. And we're not going to hang around with you if you keep calling everyone names. So keep away from him. Maybe that changes his mind. But there's also a chance that maybe it won't. And you might have to stand up to him. And the best way to stand up to a bully is if they're doing something that you don't want to do, stand up straight and tell them in a loud voice whatever it is that you want them to stop. Like, stop calling people names. It's not nice. We don't want you to do that. And then, once again, just walk away. If that's what it takes, then that's what it takes. Now, if you're scared to do that, which is understandable, especially if the bully is big and mean, that's okay. It's understandable to be scared. But also, one thing that will help your courage is that you know that you've tried your best to find other ways to solve this bullying problem, and those other ways didn't work, and now you're standing up for what is right. And when you stand up for what is right, what you know is right, that right there will give you courage. You have to stand up for yourself. Otherwise, it won't stop. And believe it or not, you're actually helping this bully. Because if no one ever stands up to that bully, they'll always act that way. They won't have a lot of friends, and they'll end up being worse and worse all the time. Whereas if you can get them to stop and get them to start being nice, you're actually really helping them. And the final thing is, if this still keeps happening, even after you stand up to the bully, you might even have to go and tell a teacher what's going on. And that's fine. Sometimes bullies need an adult to explain things to them, explain what they're doing and why they're doing what they're doing is wrong. And that's okay. So that's what I recommend. That's how you can end up trying to solve those bullying problems. So good luck with that, Alana, and thank you for your questions, and thank you for being a little warrior kid. Next question comes from Mike, who is 11 years old, and he's got a question. His question is, where's Mark's dad? And that's a good question. If you've read the Warrior Kid books, you can probably catch that Mark does have a dad, but that Mark's dad has a job that requires him to travel a lot. He's gone most of the time, and he doesn't really appear much in the book. So that's where technically Mark is. But there's another reason why Mark's dad isn't around a lot in the book. Mark the Warrior Kid is actually based on a friend of mine named Mark Lee, who was the first Navy SEAL that got killed in Iraq. And he was an incredible, strong warrior, and he was a very friendly and funny person, and he was just an amazing human being. And the real Mark, that Mark, he grew up without a dad. His dad left his family when Mark was very young, and that means that the real Mark was raised only by his mom. And even though he was raised just by his mom, guess what? His mom did an incredible job, and she raised an incredible warrior. And so I knew that some of the kids that read these books and some of the kids that even are listening to this podcast right now, they might not have a dad around. And I wanted to make the character like the real Mark. And I also wanted kids that might not have their dad around to realize that they could still grow up and be mighty warriors just like the real Mark. There's all kinds of things that can happen to dads where the dads might not be around, everywhere from just a dad that is gone working a lot, or a dad, maybe things didn't work out between the mom and dad, and the dad leaves the family, or maybe in some cases, you know, your dad could die, and that happens. That's part of life. But those things are not going to stop you from being an incredible person and an incredible warrior. And if your dad is around, that's great too. Your mom and dad are there, that's super. And I hope you respect your parents and you pay attention to them, because I'm telling you, no one cares about you more than your parents do. So if your parents are there supporting you and giving you direction, you should definitely listen to it, because like I said, they care about you more than anyone else. But it's also important to know that if your mom and dad, mom or dad, or mom and dad aren't around, that's okay too. You don't need to have a dad or a mom or an Uncle Jake to be a warrior kid. What you do need is discipline and hard work and a code that you stick by. And that's true even if you have a mom and dad. A mom and dad can't make you disciplined. They can't make you want to do hard work. They might be able to force you to do it for a little while, but you're the one that has to make it happen. You're the one that makes you a warrior kid. So be a warrior kid. And the next question is from a warrior kid named KJ, who does jiu-jitsu. He's 9 years old, and he asks, what should I do in jiu-jitsu when I'm being submitted and both of my arms are tied up? Okay, that's a very important question. That happens to even me sometimes. When you're training jiu-jitsu, if you get in a position where your opponent has a submission hold on you, which means that they can make you tap out and quit and say, okay, I've had enough right now. That's one of the main goals of jiu-jitsu, is to make the other person tap out. Well, there's a chance that when you're in a position where you want to tap out, you can't because your hands and your arms are all tangled up. So if that happens, it's a pretty easy solution. What you do is you say the word tap instead. You just say tap, 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 and your opponent will let you go. And one thing that's important is, you know, talk about that with your instructor and talk about it with someone before you train. And you say, hey, if I can't tap in time, I'm just going to tap. I'm just going to say tap. And they will say, okay. And that's a fair thing to do. One mistake that people make in jiu-jitsu sometimes is instead of tapping their opponent, they tap the mat. And the problem with tapping the mat is the mat can't feel you. And so if you tap the mat but you don't do it loud enough, the person might not know you're tapping and they keep going with the submission and you can get hurt. So always try and tap the person. And also, if you can't tap with your hands, then just say the word tap. And also always remember that it's okay to tap out. You don't lose, you learn. And that's very important. And the last question is from a little warrior kid named Kate. She is 7 years old, and she says, I like jiu-jitsu and gymnastics. How can I not get mad at myself when I try something that is hard, but other people make it look so easy? Okay, so we've talked about this before, and that is the fact that the madder you get about something, the worse you are going to do. And so the first thing, you know, I've talked about this on other Warrior Kid podcasts, is learn how to calm down, breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth, and just relax, tilt your head up a little bit, and even smile if you can. Now, it can be hard not to get mad when someone else makes something look easy. Okay, when someone makes something look super easy that you're having a really hard time with, that can make you get mad. And I'll tell you, there are some people, very few people, but there are some people that are just naturally really good at something. Some people, for instance, are very athletic naturally, so sports come very easy to them. Some people are naturally very smart, so learning comes very easy for them. Some other examples are some people are naturally very good at music, so playing an instrument is pretty easy for them. And another example is some people are very good naturally at art, so it's easy for them to draw and it's easy for them to paint. So there are some people that are just naturally good at certain things, but I will tell you that those people are very rare. And you want to know what I'm naturally good at? What I'm naturally so good at? I'm naturally so good at nothing. Nothing. I'm not the fastest, not the strongest, not the smartest. Most people are like me. They're not naturally good at anything. And the way they get good at things is hard work and practice, practice, and more practice. So for instance, there's a guy named Jimmy Page. He played in a rock band, one of the greatest rock bands ever, called Led Zeppelin. And he's considered to be one of the greatest guitarists ever. And one of the things that people don't know, people think he just picked up the guitar and plays so well. No, actually not true at all. He used to practice guitar so much. He would play it in school. He would play it during breaks. He would play it at recess. He would play it during lunch. He played his guitar all the time. That's all he did was practice. In fact, he practiced his guitar so much that sometimes the teachers would take it away from him so that he could do schoolwork. That's how much he used to practice. You might have heard of a basketball player named Kobe Bryant. He played for the Los Angeles Lakers. He practiced 3 times a day. His first time that he practiced was at 5 o'clock in the morning. Every practice he did, he took 400 shots every single practice. And another thing, when he was playing professionally for the Lakers, sometimes he would show up for practice 3 hours before the rest of the team showed up. So Kobe Bryant, he's not naturally good at basketball. He practiced super hard. One more example, there's a guy named Marcelo Garcia. He's one of the greatest jiu-jitsu champions ever. And he loved jiu-jitsu so much, and he practiced so much that he actually lived at the jiu-jitsu academy and trained 4 times a day. That is how you get good. Practice, practice, and more practice. So if you are having trouble with something, don't get mad. Things are not easy in gymnastics. They're not easy in jiu-jitsu. They're not easy in guitar or instruments or drawing or learning. It's not easy. You have to practice. And then you have to practice some more. And then you have to keep on practicing. And that's how you'll get good. And that is all we have for this Warrior Kid podcast. If you want to get one of the Warrior Kid books, you can get them at warriorkid.com. And if you want a Warrior Kid t-shirt or jiu-jitsu rash guard, you can get them at jockostore.com. And if you want to get a jiu-jitsu gi for kids, you can get one of those at originmaine.com. And that's it. Thank you for listening. Thank you for reading the books. Now go out there, train hard, study hard, work hard, get after it, and be a warrior kid.